Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
Speak to us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Come inside now, sweetheart. It's getting dark. Those are the words that Barbara's mother used to say every single night in the summertime when she would look out the kitchen window and see that the sun was going down. It didn't matter where they lived, whether it was Kansas or Ohio or Alabama or Georgia. Dark was dark, and Barbara's mother wanted her children inside. It must have cost her quite a lot to call us, Barbara mused later, since it meant that the quiet house would soon be filled with the noise of three small, loud girls. But she did it anyway. She loved us enough to let us play outside until the cicadas started to crank up and the bats started swooping through the sky. And then she loved us enough to call us inside, so that nothing bad would happen to us in the dark. The dangerousness of the dark was like the law of gravity, Barbara Brown Taylor later mused. No one can say exactly how it worked, but everyone agreed upon it. When the night fell, the children were gathered inside, the front porch lights were turned on, the curtains were drawn, and the doors were locked. Inside the house became a showcase of artificial light. The fluorescent ring on the ceiling of the kitchen, the 40-watt appliance bulbs in the oven hood, the 25-watt bulbs shaped like candles in the dining room chandelier, the standard 60-watt bulbs in the television set in the den, and there were all those little night lights in the hallway so that you never had to be in the dark. Darkness. Just say the word and the associations begin to flow. Night, nightmare, ghost, graveyard, cave, bat, vampire, evil, danger, doubt, depression, loss, fear, death. We try to avoid it, the darkness. We surround ourselves with all kinds of artificial light, and yet sometimes the darkness falls upon us. And when the darkness falls upon your life, which can happen in any number of ways, you lose your job, your marriage falls apart, you make a terrible mistake, you pray for something that you want to happen and it doesn't happen, you experience some inexplicable agony, or you struggle with some crippling anxiety or depression, or you lose somebody that you deeply love. When the darkness falls upon your life and all the artificial lights are extinguished, it can feel like you're walking in darkness. Sometimes the entire world can look dark. The whole planet, the future of the planet can seem bleak. In 2006, the novelist Cormac McCarthy published a dystopian novel called The Road about the journey of a father and his young son walking across the landscape of a burned-out America that had been blasted by some unspecified cataclysm that had destroyed most of civilization and almost all life on Earth. Listen to how the novel begins. When he woke in the woods, in the dark and cold of the night, he reached out to touch the child sleeping beside him. Nights dark beyond darkness, and days more gray each one than had gone before, like the onset of some cold glaucoma dimming away the world. His hand rose and fell with each precious breath. He pushed away the plastic tarpaulin and raised himself in the stinking robes and blankets. And he looked toward the east for any light, but there was none. Now, I promise that I've come to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But before we get to the good part, we have to acknowledge what's real. And what's real is that sometimes we're walking in darkness. Some of us know what it's like to endure nights dark beyond darkness and days each more gray than the one that's come before. And some of us know what it's like to look to the east for some light to come, but the light never comes. And if that's you, and maybe if that's you today, then God's promise through the scripture, however brief, might be good news. And again, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a powerful statement to ponder the idea that the same power that raised Christ from the dead would be made available to us as light that would follow us through the darkest valley. It's a statement that harkens back to the beginning of the gospel where John writes in that exalted tone. He writes about Jesus in ways that the other gospels don't. He says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And all of a sudden we know that we're in a different part of the zoo. "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him," that is Jesus. "And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light to all people." It's a beautiful sentiment that in the beginning that all things came into being through the love and life and light of Christ. That Jesus comes as the bearer of the light and life of God to give and is authorized to give that to whomever he pleases, and he pleases to give life and light to all people. But human life is not just a story of life and light. It's also at times a story of darkness and death. That's a fact. The darkness is real. And it can be debilitating. It can be overwhelming. And we can experience it as exhaustion or numbness or guilt or pain or grief. The darkness is real. If we ask, why is there darkness, we don't receive an answer in Scripture. God did not say in the beginning, you can go back to Genesis, go back to the Old Testament, and in the beginning, God did not say, "Let there be darkness." He said rather, "Let there be light," and separate the light from the darkness. The darkness is not in Scripture a subject worthy of extensive, penetrating research. It's simply the darkness. Now, we look at darkness in the Gospel of John, I think a lot of times in psychological terms. Darkness is experienced, the name that we sometimes give to the experience of something like depression. But in John, that's only one dimension of the darkness. There's also this moral dimension or a theological dimension to it. Darkness is what confronts us when we turn away from the true source of our life. It's what confronts us when we try to find meaning elsewhere and we find ourselves plunged into the abyss of meaninglessness. And yet, the promise remains that the light shines in the darkness. We know that there is darkness only when we turn away from the light. The light doesn't eliminate the darkness, but it goes on shining. There's no peaceful coexistence between light and darkness. Let me tell you what I mean. So the other night, maybe you heard the tornado sirens going off. Did you hear this at like 2 or 3 in the morning? So we did too, and we did. I kind of went back and forth, finally woke up the family, went down into the basement, and anticipated the electricity going off. So we got out the candles, and the basement was pitch black. And when Millie lit the first candle, all of a sudden, the darkness was not darkness anymore. There was a bit of light that pierced it. Darkness, it's the business of the light to pierce the darkness. In the Gospel of John, darkness remains in the background of the story for the whole time, up to the moment when Judas walks out of the light of the upper room and into the darkness of the night. Right up to those final words of Jesus when he says, "The world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and I have made known to them your name, and I will make it known." The darkness doesn't comprehend the light, but it also doesn't overwhelm it. The light which is shown in Jesus, which shines on as the name of Jesus is proclaimed throughout the world, is none other than the light of God, the light that enlightens everyone. And so we shouldn't try to mask the darkness or deny its existence, but the promise still remains that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And again, Jesus offers the promise, the good news: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, I've read this passage over and over this week, and the hang-up for me, the place where I begin to have some doubt, the place where I just am having a hard time, is this phrase: "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." Never? Seriously? What about like Mother Teresa, for instance, who famously, we found out after her death, experienced the absence of God, experienced what might be termed depression? What about the countless believers who I have known personally who have experienced, have tried sincerely to follow Jesus, and yet find themselves walking through the darkness or in the darkness of grief or guilt or depression or pain? What about all of those people? Never? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness? What could that possibly mean? I'm going to try to answer it indirectly. Camp Lake Stevens was a place I went when I was a kid, pretty much every summer. I loved the tetherball and the pool. I loved playing capture the flag in the woods and all the rest. Camp Lake Stevens was my place. It was the place where I always went, a place where I knew that I would experience or encounter God. So I had one eccentric counselor. I'm not exactly sure his background, but I'm not exactly sure how he got through the application process. And he did several, he ran his cabin in several peculiar ways, but the strangest thing that he did was on the last night. We went down Heart Attack Hill to the recreation field and had the big bonfire that we always had, and I think I'm in third grade, and so a bonfire on the recreation field in the middle of the night was awesome. You know, just like this amazing experience, this pillar of fire up into the air. Well, that was normal. What wasn't normal is that at the end of the worship time, when all the rest of the camp went back up Heart Attack Hill, our counselor said that our cabin was going to stay. And we were going to walk up the hill without flashlights. It was not normal. It was very strange, and it felt a little bit negligent. I've wondered since then what our counselor was trying to get us to see. What was that experience about? Of course, we made it up the hill. But this is what happened. We got up from the bonfire, and we entered into the darkness of the woods. It felt like the coyotes were howling on every side. It was very scary. And yet, as soon as we got beyond the light of the bonfire, and it felt as if we were in total pitch darkness, all of a sudden our eyes adjusted, and we saw something that we hadn't seen before, and that is that the full moon was out that night, providing just enough light for us to make it all the way back up to the top of the hill to our home for the evening. Darkness was all around us, and yet we weren't walking in darkness. We were walking through the darkness with just enough light to get home. And again, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will be walking through the darkness with the light of life. Said all those things to say this. If you're 5 years old, or you're 25, or you're 45 or 85, listen to this good news. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. And you don't have to be overwhelmed when the darkness comes. You can set your eyes on Jesus, who is the light of the world. You can focus and follow Jesus, who is the light of the world, and you will not walk in darkness. Even if the whole situation may seem to be completely dark, you have the light of life, and you will be moving through the darkness, and the light of life will be your guide. Or to switch the metaphor slightly, following Jesus is like driving a car at night. You can see only as far as the headlights, but I promise you can get to your destination. You can go the whole way just like that. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.